more powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Superman.
Yeah, woohoo. Okay, so I wanted this as an intro for my message this morning because I wanted to talk about something. First of all, about us as kids, when boys were boys many years ago, we all at one point in our lives, we all wanted to be Superman. We all wanted to be Superman, and we would take that towel, guys, and we would tuck that towel under our shirt or t-shirt, and we would use that as our cape, and I think for most of us, it wasn't the being faster than a speeding bullet. And it wasn't that we were more powerful than anything, but it was that we were able to leap tall buildings in a single pound. We wanted to do that. We wanted to fly. And we would go around, whoosh, and we would make that whooshing sound. Whoosh, and we'd run around the house with our arms extended, and we would do that like we were able to fly. Girls, you had your own shtick that you wanted to, when you were kids. You had your own things that you wanted to do. But I know that every boy at one point, when he was a little kid, wanted to be Superman. Now, the thing is, we really didn't have a lot of superheroes at that time. You know, now today, with the Avenger movies and everything, there's like 500 superheroes, and they all, but you know, if you notice, many of them have capes. Back then, Superman had a cape. Batman still existed. He had a cape. And so, but Superman was the one that we wanted to be. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a little personal thing. First of all, let me say that they were actually two teenagers back in the 30s that created Superman. It was Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, two Jewish guys, young teenagers really, and they created the idea and they created Superman. The interesting thing is that Superman's name on the planet Krypton was Kal-El, and he was from the family of El. So the thing is, Jerry thought of the name, and the reason he did use the name El, because he knew that El was God. So he used that Kal-El, from the family of El, he used that for who Superman was as a child on the planet Krypton. Now, I really, when I was a kid, something that really, really did impress me, and then I'm going to get on with my message, but just give me a minute here. You know, my dad was a cab driver in Manhattan. He had a cab. He had his own cab in Manhattan. And one day he came home and he was sort of excited and he said, guess who I had in my cab today? And I had Superman. And it was George Reeves. I had Superman. And he said to me, I got to get to the airport to catch a plane real quick. And it says, of course, my dad said to him, what do you need me for? Why don't you just fly? That was like a really great thing when you're 8 or 9 years old to have Superman in your dad's cab, you know what I mean? So anyway, okay. But here's the idea. to defy gravity, to fly. That was every boy's wish, to defy gravity. But the reality is, gravity keeps us down. If it wasn't for gravity, we would have just flown off into the outer space and we wouldn't be able to breathe because there would be no oxygen there. Gravity keeps us down on the earth. It keeps us on the ground. And the thing is, as we get older, we don't think about defying gravity. We don't think about flying as we get older, as adults, because we realize, number one, that gravity is a reality. And so we stop thinking about those things. And as we get older, we start to realize, unfortunately, that life has its own burdens that weigh us down, so to speak, that defy the, that don't allow us to actually defy gravity. Because we have things in our lives that, so to speak, weigh us down. We have just life. We have burdens. We have cargo that we carry around with us all the time. And so not only does gravity keep us on the ground, but the burdens of life many times weigh us down a lot. And so they increase the gravity that is already pulling us down on the ground. We have all these things in our lives. So flying, forget it, not anymore. Life is heavy. Life is heavy enough. We don't even need the gravity to keep us down. We've got all these things going around us. And it doesn't matter if we're believers or not believers. It doesn't matter what we think or don't think. It doesn't matter how much faith we have. The reality is, because the world is the world around us, and the reality is there are things that go on in our lives each and every day. Which brings me to now my first scripture this morning, and it is from my Haftarah portion, and this is why I decided to talk about this morning. And so our Haftarah portion is from Isaiah, and so let's go to Isaiah 40, and we're going to look at one of the last verses, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is a promise by God. It sounds sort of like Superman, that God would allow us to sort of be like Superman. We have strength, we're going to be able to fly like and soar like eagles, and we're going to have boundless energy. We're not going to faint. No matter what's going on around us, we're going to have strength to endure what's going on around us. This is a promise from God. What the Lord is suggesting is that there is a way to overcome the gravity in our lives each and every day. A way to lighten our load. A way for us to rise up above everything that's going on in our lives. It's a wonderful promise from the Lord. Sometimes it's hard to believe that we can do that. But this is what God promises. So now we have to look at the context here of what's going on. Isaiah was giving God's word to the people of Israel, and it was during a time that when they were in the diaspora, they were in Babylon, they were taken out of the land, and they felt that they had no hope, and they felt that they had no strength. They felt that the load of their living in a land that wasn't their land, and they were over the rule and regulations of the Babylonians. And so they had stopped getting the hope. They had really at that point no hope, and their strength was quickly waning. And this is what they were saying. If we look at Isaiah 40:27, this is what they were saying. This is what God brought to mind to them, what they were saying and thinking. He said, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, And this is what they would say: my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. This is how they felt. You ever feel like that sometimes in your life? I guess not. So praise God. All right. So thank you and Shabbat Shalom. In other words, God doesn't really care about me. That's what they were saying and thinking. How can he think about me? Why should he think about me? Here I am in this land, and I don't know if God is connecting with me. Sometimes we begin to see our problems and situations bigger than God is. You know, we know that God is huge and big, and we know there's no one else like God. But sometimes what happens is we concentrate so much on our problems that our problems become, they take the place of all the time we should be thinking about the Lord. And so in that way, God becomes bigger. I mean, the problems become bigger than God in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, as Miss Alice said. And so that is not a good thing. Or, not that the problems become bigger than God, but the area that God is concerned with are too little for him to really act on them. See, either we think our problems are too big and they're bigger than God, or they're so small that God doesn't even want to deal with them. It's too little for God. He's not concerned with that kind of stuff. After all, he's God. He's got to rule everything on earth and in the universe. Why would he think about my problems? I'm just one person. And so we can either think that our problems are huge or our problems are too little. But one way or the other, we are thinking the way Israel thought, that he doesn't care, and or how can he even care about what's going in our lives? So let's go to Isaiah verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. That is God. You see, he is reminding Israel who God really is. So this morning, if you're thinking in those terms, that the problems are too big for God, or the problems are too little for God, then hear God's word and to see that he's the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. And he doesn't faint and he doesn't get weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. In other words, his unsearchable is immense. His understanding, he knows it all. He understands it all. You know, we may think Google is really unsearchable. There's nothing you can't type into Google and you'll get answers and you'll get information. Can you understand and imagine? God's is bigger than Google. I mean, imagine that. That's that. Now we're putting it into perspective, people, huh? Now we really understand. But the thing is, going back to the idea of flying and gravity, when God lifts you up, no one can bring you down. Amen. Now, people may try to bring you down, and if you allow them to bring you down, they will. But when God lifts you up, and I'm not even necessarily talking about a physical lifting up, but I'm talking about when God lifts you up and your faith is increased, and in your heart, you have this love for the Lord, and you understand the Lord greater, and you want to work with the Lord and serve the Lord. In other words, it's an inward thing. It's not necessarily a physical thing yet, But in inward, when God lifts you up, no one can bring you down. That is yours. That is what God gave you. And really, you can bring you down. But no one on the outside can do that when God lifts you up. So now let's go into the Brit Hadashah here. 2 Corinthians, we'll look at a few words from Shaul. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Messiah Yeshua, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." When God lifts you up, no one can bring you down. Because he is the God and the Father of all things, and he is the God of creation again. And he is the Father of mercies and of all comfort. And so, and again, it's not always a physical comfort, but it's that inward comfort that he gives each and every one of us. So there is a way to escape that gravity of life, as we see from the Word of God. And it's facing life with God the Father in our life, and we are blessed to be able to face life with Messiah Yeshua in our lives. And that is a big, big difference. It makes a big difference in our lives. You know, there are people out there that say, "I believe in God, and I know God, and I know he's real, and I trust in God." But the thing is, when we have that next step, it's a great step. When we understand that not only is God in heaven, but we know that God became flesh and died for us and shed his blood for us so that we would have eternal life, it's like a whole other ball game here. And so there is that way to escape the gravity of life, but we need to have God the Father and the Messiah in our life, and that makes all the difference in our lives. And we want other people to know about that. You know, that's one of the reasons, that's what God wants us to do, is to let people know. Even people that say, "Oh, I believe that there's a God and I believe in the God," it's great, but we want them to be able to go one step further, because that one small step is really a great, great step. It's a step of eternity. It's a step forever. It's a step so great that people couldn't even imagine how big that step is, even though it may be just that small step of faith. So we'll look at a few more scriptures this morning. Psalm 128 and Acts 1. I put them together. Acts 1:11. "To you, Lord, I lift up my eyes, and to you who dwell in the heavens." And Acts 1:11 says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." And so we know that we imagine God, although he is all around us. We know that he is throne is in heaven, and so we talk in those terms, in those literal terms of him being up in heaven. And so the psalmist said, "I lift up my eyes to you in heaven." And we also know that Yeshua returned to the Father, and he went up to heaven, and he promised that he's going to return to us in like manner. He will return to us onto the earth when he returns. So here, as we open this morning, is it a bird? Is it a plane? What's the answer? No. It's not a bird and it's not a plane. That's the imaginary, the superhero. God in his fullness is really our Superman today. And I'm not saying that to turn him into something, put him into a box, put him into a cartoon character, put him into something that was, you know, that we imagined, that we made up. But we know, you know what I mean. God is, he has the attributes and much more of what those boys, Jerry and Joe, imagined almost 100 years ago. God has those attributes and much more. He is more than a bird or a plane up in the sky. He is our Superman, and he gives us strength. He gives us strength. He allows us to soar like eagles, even though he is greater than Superman. He allows us to have the attributes that we always as kids wish to have. We may not have them in a physical way, but he allows us to use them in a very spiritual way in our lives. And that's what God does. He is great. He is so great. And in his grace and mercy, he has given us some of his attributes. You know, there are people out there, and I see this every once in a while on Facebook, and people talk about that people think we are like gods, or we are gods, little g. What it is I believe that God, we are created in his image, and God allows us to do things, and the reason we can do them is because we are made in his image. And so when God promises, he is going to allow us to go through those trials and tribulations because he's giving us a little bit of him, so to speak, and he is allowing us to get through these things. And one of the greatest things that we really need to sort of turn on that switch is we need to have that faith, the faith that God spoke of so often, that Yeshua spoke of so often. It's faith. It's about faith. And so let's do it. Let's soar like eagles above all the trials and tribulations, knowing that God is going to get through these things. It won't always be easy. Physically, it may not be easy, but he's going to get us through those things, and we're just going to soar above them. And it's not because we're great. It's but because God is great, and there is no one like him. Amen. So amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone.